Okay, a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 9th, April 2023, Sunday class. We'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Metta Bhavana, here on page 12. Okay, as usual, we'll compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansiyin Bhusa. Namo Guansiyin Bhusa. Namo Guansiyin Bhusa. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Amitabha. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Tisawang Pusa. Namo Tisawang Pusa. Namo Tisawang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivadyemi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us make offering to the Triple Gemma. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to the champ. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. ังฆังพุทเธมิOkay, you all can be seated. Okay, let us turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana.This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu DevataSaddhammaṃ Muni Rājasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadaṃ Dhamma Savanankalo Ayaṃ Padanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayaṃ Padanta Dhamma Savanankalo Ayaṃ Padanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato SammasambuddhassaNamo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijjacarana Sampanno Sugato LokavidoAnuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko AkaliKoEhi paseko opanaiko pajatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato saukasango Ujupatipano bhagavato saukasangoSamici patipano bhagavato saukasango Yadidam chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugara Esa bhagavato saukasango AhuneyoPahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, we can now commence our sharingWe will go to page 12, where we stop, of this Metta Bhavana book. Metta is loving kindness, Bhavana is the meditation. So Metta Bhavana is loving kindness, meditation. So we have completed most of the benefits of cultivating thisMetta Bhavana. So now we will continue on page 12, 3.2. The danger of hate. Hate is an evil root, like we all know. the three major evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the Buddha stated it very clearly. Yeah? Whenever the human mind or the living being's mind manifests these three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, it will make you evil. It will make one evil. So it's a source of all evil. That's why it's called an evil root, root of all evil. Make you evil. Transform your mind state into evil mentality or states. And this is the source of karmic downfall. That's why here, the subheading is danger of having this evil root of hate. Actually, if you understand, hate is actually the opposite of love. To hate is the opposite of to love. That's why without metta, this evil root of hatred, envy, jealousy, dislike, or what they call unpleasant reactive feeling will be there. And it can be very, very dangerous. Out of hatred, out of envy, jealousy, especially jealousy, a lot of disaster can happen, a lot of misfortune can happen, a lot of evil can manifest. War, misunderstanding, argument, conflict, they arise through these evil roots of hatred, envy, jealousy, dislike. And sometimes it's very severe emotional negativity. Like, you don't like the world, you don't like certain type of happening in the world. So it can lead to manifestation of very, very unseen before type of evil. Even the recent, I think, shooting incident in the West, especially America, is so common now. It came from hatred. It came from wrong view that conditioned all these people to shoot, to kill, because of ideology. Sometimes it's because of racist type of mentality, racism. Sometimes it's religion. And sometimes it's race. Or what they call, they subdivide people into various regions. Like you are from Europe, the West, or American, America, or you are from Asia. So all this is a result of the evil roots of hatred. Okay, we'll go back to the notes to read on. So now I will start sharing with you. Danger of hate. Before taking up this exercise, the beginner should, according to Visuddhimagga, first consider the evil consequence of hate or hatred and the blessings of an all-embracing love or kindness. For as long as one has not understood the danger and evil consequence of this evil root of hate, one will not be able to root it out or overcome it. Similarly, one cannot reach a noble state of mind before first understanding his blessing. As it is said, through hate, by hate, overwhelmed, the factors in mind. One leads an evil life in body, deed, and body, deed. I think here word is speeches, huh? And thoughts, and understand neither one's own welfare, welfare of others, nor the welfare of both sides. According to reality means they don't have wisdom. If, however, hatred is overcome, one leads a non-evil life, neither in bodily deeds, speech, nor in the thought process. And according to reality, one knows one's welfare, the welfare of others, and the welfare of both. So this is stated by the Buddha under Anguttara Nikaya 3 Sutra 55. Okay. It is also stated that a man who is angry and whose mind is assailed by hatred may kill living beings, destroy the happiness of others, as well as himself, etc. So this is Anguttara Nikaya 1, Sutra 157. So this is very true. Eh? Out of anger, hatred, people can cause a lot of misunderstanding, evil, riots, even war, major argument and conflict. Then 3.3 is overcoming anger or hatred. So according to the Buddha, one who gives vent to anger is a man who wants to hit another and pick up a burning ember or excrement in his hand, and so first burn himself or make himself sting. He is like a man who wants to throw dust at others against the wind and only cover himself with it. So this is a very good simile. I think it's stated also in the Visuddhimagga. Visuddhimagga. Oneself is everyone's best friend. Himself does everyone love most. And yet, when angry in a rage, one kills oneself, make blind by various vanity or wrong view. So this is very typical. That's why the evil roots of anger and hatred is not easy to understand, because when they arise, it makes that being evil, and that being that has the evil root behave irrationally without proper wisdom or understanding. That's why it can simply do things, and it turns its mind into evil. Then the next part is, there are five ways of overcoming unwholesome thought. The unwholesome thought can be anger, hatred, or lust, or even fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow, and lamentation. So these five ways by which it can be entirely removed when it arises in a person. What are the five? So according to the Buddha, there are five ways to abandon the unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And they are the various emotions that I had just described. Not necessarily only anger or hatred. These are wrong thoughts, negative thoughts, evil thoughts. So there are basically five ways to overcome them. Then we read on. To a person against whom hatred might arise, one should develop all-embracing kindness, compassion, equanimity, or one should not pay him any attention, or one should picture to oneself the law of ownership of karma. That is that this person too is the owner and heir to his deed. That he is sprung from them. That his deed is his refuge. And that he will have his wholesome and unwholesome deeds as his inheritance. Means reflecting on the law of karma. Especially the fifth daily contemplation. So this one is stated under Anguttara Nikaya 5. Sutra 161. There are five modes of speech that others may use when they address you. Their speech may be at the right time or at the wrong time. Their speech may be true or untrue, gentle or harsh, beneficial or harmful, and may be accompanied by thought of loving kindness or hatred. He exhorted the gathering of monks to train themselves thus to endure any of this type of speech. So this is the Buddha's advice. This one is very difficult to follow, unless you really have the Dhamma. The Buddha said, if, O monk, or O bhikkhu, robbers or highway men should with a double-handed saw cut your limbs and joints, whosoever give way to anger, that would not be following my advice. For thus ought you to train yourself. Undisturbed shall our mind remain. No evil words shall escape our limbs. Friendly and full of sympathy shall remain. With heart full of love, free from any hidden malice. And those people shall we penetrate with thoughts wide, deep, boundless, free from anger and hatred. So this is under Majjhika Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya, Sutra 21. The other one is Dhammapada verse 3-5. He abused me, he struck me, he overpowered me, and he robbed me. Those who harbor such thought do not steal their hatred. He abused me, he struck me, he overpowered me, and he robbed me. Those who do not harbor such thought steal their hatred. For hatred is never appeased by hatred in this world, but only by non-hatred. Our love and metta alone is hatred and bliss. This is the eternal law. Okay, number four. Loving kindness as a contemplation with Metta Sutta. What should be done by one skillful in good to gain the state of peace? So this is under Metta Sutta. He should act as the Buddha said. He should be able, upright, and straightforward, obedient, gentle, and not proud. So these are the qualities of living beings. you want to develop the state of peace, skillful in your actions, in the way you understand life and deep life. Able means you are able in many aspects of looking after yourself, helping others, earning a living, and help out in society, etc. Then upright means you are righteous. Then straightforward means honest, sincere. Obedient means you obey rules, you obey your parents, your elders. Then be gentle. When you are gentle, pleasant, you are not violent. Then not proud is very important. Then the next quality that you must have is contented, easily supportable with few tasks, living very lightly, with faculties serene, prudent, modest, and not greedily attached to family. So these are the qualities of a cultivator who has the Dhamma. And these are qualities or virtue that are not easy to develop. But you have them, my nature will rejoice with you. This one, when I read this sutta when I was young, I remember, when I came into contact with the Dhamma while in the university, I was very surprised actually. All this that is mentioned here, I have them. When I was young, I very contented with life. I don't need much thing. They're easily supportable. Even later on, many people who know me, they know I'm very simple. I'm not choosy with my food and all those things. And I can stay anywhere. Then we feel tasks, very true. I don't have much things to do when I was young. Then living very lightly. Very true. Frugal in the sense that I don't need much thing to survive. Then with faculties serene. Most of the time, quiet, peaceful, calm. Then, of course, I'm very prudent. Then, very modest. Means a lot of humility. And I'm not greedy. The other one is not greedily attached to family. I don't know why. I may love my parents, but I cannot attach to anyone. Even my children and all those things. Okay, number three. He should not do the slightest thing for which other wise people might blame him. So this one is, I think, quite easy to comprehend. The wise people, they will look at your virtue, your understanding of life. That's why they will not this word blame is not so appropriate a word. Normally the wise people don't blame anybody. The wise people, they will just acknowledge that this is not skillful. That's it. Because this will lead to negativity or karma. So you should not do the slightest thing for which other wise people might actually discover your fault. That is a better word. I don't think they will blame. Cultivator all the way will not blame anybody because no point. It's out of delusion that they become what they are, the evil roots. Then they will wish for well-being of all. May all beings be well, happy, and peaceful, and secure. May they be of a blissful heart. Then number four, whatever breathing things there may be, feeble or strong, long or stout, or middle size or short, or small or thick, seen and unseen, whether dwelling far or near, including that one or no need, you can continue to describe. Oh, I think they miss out on that. It's a repeat. May all beings be happy and secure. May they be a blissful heart. Okay. Then number five, those who are born and those who are yet to be born, may all creature without exception be of a blissful heart. Number six, let no one deceive another or even slight him at all, anywhere. Through provocation or resentment, let him not wish another's ill. So these are skill sets that are not easy to maintain, to have, unless you have the Dhamma. Where most people, they can easily be like provocated, get angry, develop anger, hatred, that's like resentment. Then to deceive others, to slight others, I think most people have that tendency. Then let him not wish another ill or suffering or affliction. Yes, you must have love, you must have compassion. Okay, next one, number seven. And this one is most important. This one is what metta is. Just as a mother would protect her only child, even at the risk of her own life, even so, let him develop a boundless heart towards every living being. So you can have love and metta for every living being, like a mother would protect their only child, even at the risk of risking her own life, is true metta. So when you radiate metta and love, means there is no negativity. Love is just love. And that metta can really extend to all beings without identifying against color, race, creed, or whatever. When people are in trouble, when there is a situation, your metta can actually help change the situation, the way you perceive them. Then there is another aspect, which is wisdom part, that need also to be understood. Well, it doesn't mean that this love or metta, like you treat everybody as if they are your child, you go all out and protect them. It's not that way. It's just that the action of a mother who would protect her only child at the extent of their life, that is the sacrifice that they are willing to come out with when they have the understanding to act. Means when there is condition to act, they will really act. And they will do it even to people whom they don't know, no relationship at all, whatever. That part is important, unless there is condition to act. You will just accord and flow and let things be. So that word, wu-wei, is very important. Means you don't just act because your thought tell you, or because you have this idea of compassion, love, and you want to help people and all those things. That's why wisdom is not something that you can learn. It's not a knowledge. It needs to be cultivated. When cultivated, that wisdom that dawned upon the cultivator of the way is very different. They will understand very clearly. When there is causes and conditions for things to arise, they will manifest. Otherwise, they will not do anything. They just let things unfold and see how it goes. Then number eight, let his thought of boundless loving kindness or metta pervade the whole world. Now, this is the 10 directional, above, below, and across, without any obstruction. It's no hatred, no enmity. Number nine, while he stand or walk, or while he sit, or while he lies down, if he is free from drowsiness, let him resolve upon this mindfulness. This is divine abiding here, they say. See, this shows the importance of mindfulness. Even in the Metta Sutta, it's highlighted. Yeah? Whether you are in any posture, standing or walking, or while sitting, or while lying down. As long as you are not drowsy, yeah, you must resolve upon this mindfulness, means determined to be mindful, to be aware. That one is very important. But after you have developed it, even you are drowsy or what, the mindfulness is inside there. Even whatever happened, that sati, that awareness is inside there. I remember at one time it like came and test me. I think I shared with you all before. I think in one of the hotel, I think. Quite a upmarket hotel, 5-star. And after my bath, I came out. All of a sudden, my awareness came to know that the life force like suddenly, yeah, no more. Then I lost control of my whole body. My whole body fell down like a very heavy drop, like something heavy just fell on the ground and with a loud sound, thump, pow. But I was fully aware. Then my wife panicked, thought what happened. Then I need to regain my awareness into normal consciousness and tell her, don't worry, I need to rest. Then after that, I rested. And then I regained back my control of the body, everything. And I was okay again. That's why those who have cultivated mindfulness, awareness, you don't worry. Even whatever happened, that sati will be there. But you must stabilize it. You must develop the stability of it until it's part of you. Where this time when my form and mind came, when I was young, before I even know how to meditate or what, I told you all when I was retired. Then I came back like completely without strength. I went on the bed and just rest. Then actually I died because the craving force all no more dissipate. Then the life force, everything also very weak. Then actually my consciousness came out. Then I couldn't go back to my body. But I was fully aware inside there, witnessing all the things happening. And I, that time, don't even know what Dhamma is. But at that time, when it happened, when I witnessed all things, I didn't know it was craving force. I only know something binding my consciousness to the body. But later on, when I developed the cultivation, then after 1989, when I realized what this is, and then I recall back, then I know That is how our craving falls will dissipate. And before a person dies, this thing will happen. Yeah. But if you have cultivated sati, there is no fear, nothing one. Yeah. You won't die deluded one. That's why you can be rest assured you will know how to die before you die. So what happened is all this is very natural. Yeah. Then you can witness the whole thing and understand what this form and mind is all about, what that nature is all about. Because that nature has nothing to do with the form and mind. Then the physical form, because it loses its function really, no more life force to activate the thing. So the consciousness has to separate. The consciousness is a random of consciousness, it was separate. Yeah. So mindfulness is very important. Even Metta Sutta emphasized a lot of it, and the Buddha repeated it before his parinibbana. That's why his last advice to all the monks, yeah. Strive on with heedfulness. Yeah. Do not be heedless. Apamadena sampadena. So apamadena is very important. Yeah. Strive on with heedfulness. Yeah. So heedfulness, apamada, is most important. Okay, we go back to the Metta Sutta. So whatever posture you are in, determined to be aware, resolve. He used the word, let him resolve upon this mindfulness, or develop the inner awareness to be aware. This is divine abiding here and now, according to the sutta. So be heedful. Yeah? See the importance of sati or mindfulness. So determine to be aware. Number 10, not falling into wrong view. This is also very important. Virtuous and able to see life's reality. It means seeing things as they are or as they are truly, as it truly is. If you can develop this quality, it means not falling into wrong view. You have virtue and you are able to see things as they are. Then he will purge greed or sensual desire. Actually, it should be the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And come no more for conception in the womb. Means you will not take rebirth. Yeah. You are assured of enlightenment in the here and the now, realizing arahantship. Okay, next. Okay, so just our Metta Sutta finish. Now number 5, we will go into this meditation on loving kindness. This first one is the standard Metta practices that has been taught in most Theravada tradition. So here they will teach you how to repeat mentally, because you must have metta developed before you can radiate it out. So initially you must develop the metta. So here they just start off by advising you to recite, may I be without enmity. So here you must feel it, without ill will and untroubled, means do away with the negative feeling, the negative emotional anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. So without enmity, you know, it means don't hate anybody or dislike anybody or don't have enemy. So you just mentally repeat, may I, this body and mind, you can add in, mind, be without enmity, Without ill will means can never get angry, and without trouble, untroubled. Then may I keep myself happy and peaceful always. Happy means there is this joy, there is this happiness, and peaceful always. Then stage two, repeat mentally. May I be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may I keep myself happy and peaceful always. Then after that, they will teach you to think of a friendly person who can be either your teacher or any monk or any relative, close friend, and recite mentally. May so and so be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they too keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then after that, they will advise you to think of a neutral person, means somebody where you don't have special affection or even hatred or envy or jealousy, means somebody very neutral. So think of a neutral person who is neither friendly or unfriendly to you and mentally recite. Jin Hao, move it up. Okay. Repeat the same. May this neutral person or so and so be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may he or she keep himself happy and peaceful always. So when you read this, you develop a strong metta force. You will be able to feel them. Every word that come out, the feeling is there. Means it has become part of your emotion. And these are positive feeling. Because without enmity, without ill will, and untroubled. Means these are good mind state. And then may they be happy and peaceful always. Then the fourth one, most people find difficulty, but not a problem at all. You can do this, you break away from enmity. Especially people who cheated you, make fun of you, deceive you, or you don't like. You cannot tolerate that person. And yet you can send metta. And it can be done. I did it when I was in the early days of cultivation. So here, that if I think of an enemy or a person who had offended you and mentally resign, may he or she to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may he or she keep himself or herself happy and peaceful always. Move it up, you know. Okay, number five. Think of the people and all beings in the locality where you live and mentally reside. So this one is extending it to wider group of people. May all beings within this locality of SS2 or Petaling Jaya be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. So normally I will recite my house first. May all beings within my house and its vicinity, may they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then I add in at the end, may there be love, may there be peace, may there be joy. Then I also extend to all devas, Dharma protector. And if you have your ancestor tablet, may your ancestors too. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy throughout the vicinity of this locality of where I stay. So all these are very beautiful. Then even non-humans and all those things. When you use the word all beings, then you will cover them all. Then after that, you can mentally recite and radiate to all beings within your whole township, your whole country, then the whole planet. Then after that, you can slowly expand to our solar system, our galaxy, then the whole existent universe. So this simple meditation help people to develop friendliness towards all beings, and is especially good for those who have a character disposed to hatred, means dosa charita, means you have a lot of negative mind state, means you easily get angry, you easily develop resentment, hold on to grudges, very selfish, full of envy, jealousy, hatred. So if you do this loving kindness meditation, it will help. It will overcome all your negativity or mind state. It will make you very friendly, very loving. Those who have this style of character, negative character, you can try it. It really works. The short and concise phrase is, may all beings be without enmity, should not be underestimated. For example, enmity refers to both internal enemies and external enemies. Internal enemies are like your defilements, your unwholesome thought, and unfriendliness, dislike, envy, jealousy, etc. So this understanding of the word enmity is very good. Not only external enemy, including the defilements, which are your internal evil roots, they are your enemy too. So all the unwholesome thought, of negative emotion, even your envy, jealousy, resentment. So, as I explained, for those who have not done this metta bhavana, you should actually develop it. Okay. Precaution. Unless you can distinguish between metta, loving kindness, which has no limits, and prema, or infection, which is restricted to a particular person and accompanied by unwholesome sexual desire. Do not think of a person of the opposite sex for cultivation of metta bhavana. So this one is to prevent you from expressing your desire and your infatuation. So infatuation means you are infatuated to a certain person of the opposite sex. Then the infatuation actually can distract you and make you fall in love instead of developing the actual metta. So this one I think can be overcome. It's not a problem, as long as you can relate to all beings, especially towards people who have actually helped you before, your teachers, your parents, your guardians, or anybody who has helped you before. Then later on, of course, after the gratitude part is over, you can relate metta to somebody that is friendly to you, close to you, like your brothers or sisters, or even your neighbors, your classmates, or somebody who is dear to you, and whom you have care towards and all those things. Okay, then the next one is, try not to think of a disease. This one, no need to worry. This is what Visuddhimagga say. And last time, a lot of people asked me this question in the early day. They told me, if I do metta, I cannot relate to deceased person. No. So my parent passed away, anyhow, I cannot relate metta to them. So what they here try to caution you is they have a different intention, but because they say it actually make it into a problem. Anyway, I read first and then I will explain. They say, as a precaution, try not to think of a deceased or dead person during this meditation. If it can give rise to grief or remorse, now this cat, you become sorrowful because you miss them, you attach to them. Which are unwholesome thought. Then, otherwise, metta can be related to all beings, including our deceased. We are wishing for their well-being and happiness. This one is I added in on the one at the end there, I added in on in whatever rhyme or existence they may take. So in the Visuddhimagga, they didn't have this last part. So it's the understanding part. When you radiate metta, it can be to any being. And normally I will add in the word in whatever rhyme or existence they may be. May they be well and happy. May there be peace. May there be love. And may there be joy within their hearts. Then I also will read it. May the blessing of the Triple Gem to be with them. But this is only to Buddhists, please. If they are of another religion, you don't go and keep bowing, bless them with the Triple Gem. Yeah, they may not like. So their life, let them decide. Maybe I share a short, nice story. Yesterday, I suddenly received a message from, I think some of y'all may know her. She is from Subang. She is quite active last time. Sister Wendy Chiu, I think. She know me quite well, very well, because she came and see me with her husband regarding one of her son, and they managed to overcome all the problem. Then they have good life. So she was in Korea, it seems, having holiday as usual. I think nowadays she travel a lot, which is good for her. I saw in the Facebook, I rejoice. Then she suddenly texts me a video, not video, a Photoshop of her and another lady. The moment I saw the Photoshop, I realized this is my ex-JKR colleague, early days when I just started work. We become very close family friends. We get to know each other. Our children also get to know each other. And we used to travel together to many places, and we had a lot of joy, a lot of fun. And I said, yeah, that is Lina Lee. And then she replied, what a small world. Then she said she was actually discussing with her while in Korea about Buddhism. Then my name surfaced now, just like the one in Melbourne. Sam and his neighbor in Melbourne, Vesak Day, they go. Then, as they discover my name appear, then Lina say, the husband also there, they say, Tio, still can good. That's how they came to know. Yeah, he said we know him. So he sent the photo on. Then confirm. He said, what a small world. Then you know what he said? He said, she's a Christian now. I came to find out. I said, yeah, she's a Christian, but understanding Christian, not the other type. You can get along with them, no problem. But the husband is very, very beautiful. He doesn't believe in anything, but you can say he's a free thinker. But he's very good. He's very good. I like his attitude, his way. He very humorous and very intelligent guy. Say so, and he speaks in a very nice manner. That's why we click along very well. And I learned a lot of mechanical engineering thing from him. Yeah, he's a mechanical engineer. So this is how we can actually understand no problem with difference of belief system or religion. You can coexist, you can become very close family friend. And we got no problem at all. Then sometimes they have problem or what. Then we share our experience, our information, or something. But it was a very good example of what coexistence with wisdom and understanding is. As long as you are not like very attached to your religion or your religious label and belief, and don't try to be right and fight here and there, then there will be harmony. Because existence is about having good relationship with all beings, regardless of race, creed, religion, and all those things. You cannot break free from all this, then you don't have the Dhamma. To have the Dhamma is to have the understanding that people are just the way they are. And from your virtue, your understanding, your character, your personality, people can feel you, can gauge you. That's why it's different. When you have the Dhamma, you are different. And many Kayamitas, I think they can feel it. Because it has helped them so much, transform their life, improve their life. In fact, most Kayamita you can check around. If they have the faith and they follow the advice of the Buddha and cultivate according, their life change for the better, and they have a lot of joy, happiness, and like very lucky, a lot of things go their way. So all this you can witness and see them. Okay, good. We come back to the sharing, because I have to end soon. We have to have our 45 minutes of meditation. Okay, this meditation should be regularly practiced. Daily for at least 5 to 30 minutes. So sometimes you can settle down and read it for 5 minutes. It's good enough. Especially our religious routine. If morning, night, the in between you meditate and towards the end you read it. Loving kindness and metta, and also share merits and transfer merits. When you start, sometimes you find, if you are new, you find yourself not easy to settle down. Metta is a very good practice. Even 5, 10 minutes or 2, 3 minutes of metta first. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all. And all this can calm you down very fast, I remember in the early day. Then after that, I start to do the chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato. This is to develop the faith, the siddha, the virya, and the mind become very composed. Then after that, I meditate. Then when I meditate, it settle down very fast. It can be Anapanasati or the four support. Now you know the awareness base, or you just silent and just let whatever arise, just aware, finish, then relax, maintain awareness until it's stabilized. You just do all this, then it can be beautiful. Then later on, when your metta becomes very strong, I mean the early phase, you will like to do metta. So when I was doing metta, I can do it for 45 minutes, sometimes 1 hour. I just relate. Oh, that time, the mind was very different. The metta is from that nature. Come on. Okay, then we go on. The 11 benefits of this metta meditation mentioned by the Buddha are: if all monks all embracing loving kindness or metta, the liberation of mind has been cultivated and developed. Make one's vehicle and foundation is firmly established, brought to greatness and full perfection. One may expect these 11-fold blessings. So these are the benefits of developing this metta bhavana, loving kindness meditation. So not only it develops this, it can bring about liberation of mind too. So if metta has been cultivated and developed, make one's vehicle and foundation means you do it consistently and firmly established, it will brought to greatness and full perfection. It will bring you to greatness and full perfection. There you can expect this 11 flow or blessings. One sleeps peacefully, awakes peacefully, has no evil dreams, is dear to men. People like you, very true at that time. You like, people can sense you. When you have metta, you are very different. It's dear to spirit. Even the non-humans, they can sense you. Heavenly beings protect you. Fire, poison, and weapon cannot do any harm to you. The scattered mind become very composed. That's why prepare 3 ways for you to calm your mind down to develop the meditation. Then one's feature brighten up, very true. Oh, there is a radiant one in you. Because of that metta, that joy. One will have an untroubled death, means your death will be peaceful. And if one does not penetrate higher, one will be reborn at least in the Brahma realm. Means the calm state, Brahma realm. So this is stated under Anguttara Nikaya 10, Sutta 16. Okay, general advice. Living according to the 5 moral precepts is the foundation for getting good result in meditation. This is very true, because it starts with sila. And when your sila is in place, you will have a good life. Then reading the Metta Sutta is a good way to start your meditation. Many verses for dedication of merits exist. The example below is translated from the Pali by King Rama IV, King Mongkut of Thailand. So this one is from him. May the merits made by me now or at other times be shared among all beings, infinite and immeasurable. By rejoicing in this cause, these gifts of merits given by me, may beings all forever live a happy life, free from hatred. May they find the path secure, and may their good and noble wishes all succeed. So this is a very good way of developing it. So this is extracted from the reflection compiled by Venerable Bhikkhu Kantipalo. Kantipalo also, he wrote a book on metta, very good. A devotional chanting manual for meditation. Early day, I received the booklet. Okay, I think we stop here. Page number, come down a bit. Page 21. Okay. So we stop here at page 21. For those who are interested in metta, you should read on. And especially page 26 onward, the appendix, the philosophy and cultivation of universal love. This one is a very good topic. This one, I remember, it helped me a lot in the early days. Maybe I just read a little bit to you so that it can maybe guide you along. The Pali word metta is a multi-significant term meaning loving kindness or friendliness. So all these words can give you the meaning, goodwill, benevolence, fellowship, amity, concord, inoffensive, and non-violence. The Pali commentators define metta as a strong wish for the welfare and happiness of others. This one is very important. Parahita parasukham kamana. Essentially, metta is an altruistic attitude of love, means selfless, altruistic, and friendliness as distinguished from mere amiability based on self-interest. Through metta, one cannot hate nor be offensive and renounces bitterness, resentment, and animosity of every kind, developing instead a mind of friendliness, accommodativeness, and benevolence, which seeks the well-being and happiness of others. True metta is devoid of self-interest. It evokes within a warm-hearted feeling of friendliness, fellowship, empathy, and love, which grows boundless with practice. Now, this is very true, grow boundless with practice, and overcome all social, racial, religious, political, and economic barriers. Metta is indeed a universal, unselfish, and all-embracing love. We call it universal love. Metta makes one a pure form of well-being and safety for others. Just as a mother gave her own life to protect her child, her only child. So metta only gives and never wants anything in return. Because when you sacrifice for your child, only parents can do that. They don't think of anything in return. They just go all out to protect them and sacrifice. That is pure love, true love. To promote one's own interest is a primordial motivation for mankind or human nature. Of human nature. When this urge is transformed into a desire to promote self-interest, to promote interest and happiness of others, not only is the basic urge of self-seeking overcome, but the mind becomes universal by identifying its own interests with the interests of all. By making this change, one also promotes one's own well-being in the best possible manner. Metta is a protective and immensely patient attitude of a mother who bears all difficulty for the sake of her child through sacrifice and ever protect it despite their misbehavior, etc. Metta is also the attitude of a friend who wants to give one the best to further one's well-being, means true friend. If this quality of metta are sufficiently cultivated through metta bhavana, the meditation on universal love, the result is the acquisition of, the result is the acquisition of a tremendous inner power of love, which persevere, protects, and heal both oneself and others. Then move it further. Apart from its higher implication, today metta is a pragmatic necessity. In a world menaced by all kinds of destructiveness, metta is indeed, metta in the words of speech and thought is the only constructive means to bring concord, peace, and mutual understanding. Indeed, metta is the supreme means, for it forms the fundamental tenets of all higher religion, as well as basis for all benevolent activity intended to promote human well-being. Then the rest, I think you can read it out. Then there is another part, I don't know where is it, I remember. You must develop this metta until it's like overflowing from your heart, no? Oh, like the metta is so full, then it can come out from your heart. Initially, you can just will it out. Then later on, straight from the heart, it come out, no need to will. So all this, you can go and read about. It's somewhere inside there, I don't know where. I remember in the early day, it helps me a lot. So metta bhavana is a good meditative training for cultivator of the way. You must at certain stage learn metta first. I was lucky because at the initial stage I did metta first, then only I did the rest. That's why for me metta, I know what it is. But a lot of other kind of metta, I think they didn't really do metta because the teaching from my nature is so direct, so they don't have to go through others. But no harm going back. By now, with the understanding, you read this metta book, you can do it very well. Then for a change, the wisdom part you already have. Then this metta, when you read it, is very different, very different. Okay, so we will stop here. Just now that page 21, 6. Then now we were off the light so that you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we will have our second session. Sadhu. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can have our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, and also sharing. I think we already have Jin Hao waiting for us. We also there in the trip, so I pass the mic to Jin Hao for him to share about his India trip.
Good afternoon. Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas. All right. My experience wasn't so fantastic like Brother Song, is it? Okay, but I have a quite impactful experience when I was in Kushinyaga. The moment when I stepped into the temple, when I saw Buddha lying down, is it? I don't know, the scene is so impactful to me. It's like, wow. We have been hearing, Buddha, and actually the trip that we are coming is for the pilgrimage, the Buddha, talking about Buddha, all that. But suddenly when I saw the way he lying down, it's like, he's gone, is it? Like, wow. My tears just flow out, is it? My tears just flow out.
Yeah, good.
We walk a circle. After a circle, I just kneel down, and then I say I was so gratitude to Buddha. At the same time, I have a very mixed feeling. And also quite sad inside that, you know, it's just gone, is it? I don't know. And then I just quiet down for a while, and then I make an aspiration. I say that, you know, I wish that I'm able to listen to the true Dharma, life and life And the other thing I will add on is like not only able to have the condition, cause and condition to listen, but also have the ability to understand, you see. And it was like, you know, there was a time whereby, you know, just very emotion inside. And I, there's a lot of things actually is quite strange, as it's like, it doesn't actually happens in the pilgrimage. But I noticed that when I came back, there's something changes in me. Especially the particular scenes where, you know, the Kushinaga lying down, the Buddha lying down. It made me feel, also have a very deep gratitude to my mother. It's like, you know, and I, when I came back, I looked at my mother, it's, you know, I know that it's old already. And the first thing she asked me is that, apart from the treat, she asked me, say that, this one her friends wanted to offer her to go to Bali Island, you see, for a trip, you see. She asked whether I'm interested or not. In the past, I would just say that, oh, because my sister is bringing her, so I'll just, okay, never mind. Because I don't want, I'm not interested into like the group kind of like tour, and especially with all the senior citizen and all this.
Yeah, but now all different. Eh?
But somehow, you know, I feel that, you know, I should bring my mother out, you see, together to spend more time and accompany her and all this kind of thing. So when I say, yeah, I will go with her, she was shocked also. She was like, serious. So I think there's some changes in, there's very subtle changes in me. And I, when I was in the pilgrimage or so, I do some reflections and contemplation, you see, but not very much. And I saw the other things that to me very impactful was that all the we actually have 29, including the tour guides and the two assistants, all are from 13 countries all over the world, you see. All are Vipassana students. They are all very serious, okay? And you can see that they are strong, a very strong faith, and there is a requirements in the trip whereby we, each of us, we have to do sitting, group sittings in the morning, 1 hour, and at night in the evening, 1 hour. And when we go to the site, if condition allow, we will spend about, you know, half an hour sitting at the site as well. See? So I was like, you know, say that, you know, they are so, what do you call that? So hardworking, you see, full of worry, full of faith. But the thing is like, they the wrong direction, you see. It's the it give me the what do you call it? The hit that say, you know, if you plant the wrong seed, you see, yeah, no matter how hardworking, how diligent you are, you will never achieve the things. And that really bring me to the full gratitude to Brazil, that, you know, I'm so, I don't know what so good deed that I've done in the past, that, you know, somehow or other, I saw if I can, you know, end up here, whereby I received the true Dharma. And I'm so gratitude, because it's like, you know, they all really, I think they are more diligent than me, you see. And when they talk about Buddha, especially the tour guide, the German tour guide, wow, he's so full of faith, you see. He can talk the Dharma like, wow, very, very, you can sense that there's a lot of like words, you see, but there's no real Dharma inside. And I cannot, we cannot say anything about that, you see. And the other things I want to say is like that offset about the pilgrimage is that last Thursday, this when we were at
Ah.
the Permaisuri house, you see, at the last part of the sharing, Sister Po Ching, you see, and she brought out a very good point whereby you see a lot of cultivators, she noticed a lot of cultivators emphasize on want to stabilize the mindfulness and stabilize mindfulness, but they without doing the things that they're missing is yeah the without doing enough contemplation and reflections. And yeah, and suddenly it's just a strong hit on me, you know. And when I go back, I'll just look at it, and then so happened yesterday I was went down to Ipoh alone, and I drove the journey to and return about 5 hours, is it? So the entire journey I was listening to Brother Teo's mini talks, is it? And I just noticed that Brother Teo actually mentioned so much about the contemplations and the reflection, and I don't know why somehow I didn't get it, you see. And at this time I got it. I'm so full of joy. I'm so happy, you know, because it's like I've been always wanted to do stabilize my mindfulness, but I couldn't able to do that because I went to the wrong direction. I was like trying to chase after that. I was trying to always in the daily time I try to be aware, but there's not strong, is it? Because why? I don't have enough contemplation and reflections. And in order to have enough contemplation and reflection, I first of all need to have listened to the true Dharma talk again and again, and not only listen but listen with attentively and with faith. And that you know, wow, suddenly it just wakes me up, you see. And when I realized that, you see, I was so happy, you know, when I was in throughout, you know, when I was in Ipoh, and even today, I just yeah, for joy, I woke up at 5 o'clock, you see. I woke up at 5 o'clock, and first of all, I just look at the Four Noble Truths. You know, the one that Song mentioned that Sister Alicia gave it to him. Because it's in the Chinese and diagram, it's very short and it's very precise. And I just look at it, and then later on I look at the sufferings, you see, the dukkha, and turn about the Four Noble Truths. And the other thing is that I look at the and then say, okay, apart from this, what else do I need to contemplate? And I start to look at your unique code one by one, one by one. I was just full of joy. Suddenly, I said, I was like, I found the road, you see. I found the road. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even though I haven't stabilized, you know, the mindfulness, but I know that, yeah, it shouldn't be any problem. Now I got it. I got it. Finally, I got it, you see. Because I got the wrong, what the sequence wrong, you see. So I was, first of all, I was really, I don't know why, you see. You have mentioned so many times, you see, but it just doesn't sink in, you see. Only until, yeah, Po Ching mentioned it, you see. Yeah, so I really have to, you know, thanks to Brother Teo and also Sister Po Ching, you see. Really, thank you very much. And yeah, so apart from that, back to the pilgrimage, it's like, to me, it's. This is the third time to India, you see, and a lot of things have changed at India. A lot of developments, but the thing is that there are lack of planning, you see. So it's quite messy. And the other side, the other site that we visit was that the Xuanzang Da Si, the Tan San Zhang. So we have been hear about the Tan San Zhang, you know, all the while, you know, the how great they are doing the translations and these things. And when we were small, we heard about the CUT, you know, the Sun Wukong, all this thing. But not until when I step into the so-called the museums, and I look at it, I look at the map, actually the maps, how he traveled alone from China, crossed the mountain, crossed the desert. You know, the and the tour guide say that, you see, he have to be alone, escape from that wild animal and those kind of like all the dangers, see, robbers and the hungers and the all these things, you see, to India. And at that time, he was not allowed to go away from India because the king doesn't allow, the emperor doesn't allow. He escaped, you see. So he's, and not only that, he the whole, and when I look at the whole India map where he traveled, you see, I was stunned, you see. I say, wow, so far. And he was like, I think he's, I don't know, he's walking or even with the horse or so, you see. But it would take so long, you see, so much effort. Because for us to travel by bus, you see, wow, we was like, wow, so far away, 6 hours or 7 hours. But for him, really, wow, this, yeah, years and years, you see. And the whole entire journey, he spent about 17 years. And not only that, he noted down all the places that he went. Yeah, until to the extent that a lot of places, the world, the Indians had forgotten. Until when the ecology look at his book and realize that, you know, they were places, they were city in there. And this is how they discover Lumbini, Kushinaga, Bodh Gaya and all these places, you see. So, you know, his spirit, I would say that is, and also the Nananda. He not only, he first went in as a student because he wanted to collect all the Dharmas, lost Dharmas, see. And eventually he became a lecturer inside there. And he brought, like what Brother Theo has said, see, he brought the Mahayana back and then the Buddha glory, because at that time, the Hinduism is very, very strong. It was very, very strong. There's a lot of debates, and no, not many people actually can fight back. Is it only the Xuan Zhang Da Si? So yeah, I think that was very, very touching as well. Is it? Well, any other things? Yeah, and the very strange part was that, you know, Brasong and Pauline, when they first arrived there, you know, they all both knocked out, is it, because of the stomach, the food and all those kind of things. And I was happily eating around and even drinking the street water, is it, the water, the there's a filter water there, is it, but it's open to public. I just drink it and no problems, you know. Throughout the whole month, you see, I even went out. The tour guide asked us not to eat out, but I eat out as well, you see. And no stomach problem, you see. But 6 days when I came back to Malaysia, I took the nasi lemak with rendang. And middle of the night, wow, my stomach squeezed, you know, painful and squeezed. And the morning, there's nothing out, you see. Because my morning, I mean, I'm my toilet manner is quite good. You see. Every morning, you see, when I wake up, you see, I straight away go to the toilet, there's things to come out, you see. But there's nothing come out, you see. And not only that, for the continuous 3 days, you see, I input, but no output. So you can imagine, I was like, my stomach was bloated. Not only bloated, it was like, don't know, inside very pain, you see. I took a lot of like natural therapy, like, you know, soda, baking soda, castor oil, trifala, you know, all the things that I can think of, you see. And there's nothing come out, you see. And on Thursday morning, when I woke up, I went to toilet, nothing come out. I say, oh my goodness, I say, suddenly it came out to me, said, this must be coming. I quickly kneel down and asked for forgiveness. And straight enough, 20 minutes later, it came out. It came out. And I say, I just don't know what is it about. Is it? So yeah, I can survive in India, but came back, you know, have this issue. Is it? So I yeah, I think more or less this is something that I would like to share. Yes.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, thank you so much for the good sharing by Jinho. Actually, posting sent a message. Yeah, she rejoiced and she says, Sadhu to Rajino. That point is actually very important. That stage 4 of Avijja Sutta, Yoniso Manasikara, that one is the contemplation part, where you develop the first and second turning wisdom. The first turning is through constant hearing the right Dhamma. Then after that, you're supposed to reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into all this. That's why that stage 4, which is Yoniso Manasikara, the development of the initial wisdom to stabilize your understanding of this teaching. Then after that, as you stabilize, then you can move on to the turning wisdom, which is the bhavana part, the direct seeing, the silent mind, everything. Then that one, the wisdom is more penetrative. Then it will bring about the condition for this initial wisdom of Yoniso Manasikara to stabilize. So as it happens, it will help you, because before the Yoniso Manasikara come out, there is no Dhamma understanding to prompt you at the moment of sense experience. Every day, throughout the day, when you are living life, your senses are fully engaged. You're seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. Especially seeing, hearing, and thinking. While you drive, while you do your work, while you walk around, while you do a lot of things. These three are very active, fully engaged. The other one is the smell sometimes come in, the food sometimes come in when you are eating or when you smell something nice. Then when you are tasting something, then tactile can be there, but not often, off and on, yeah? Unless the external conditions are very harsh. Yeah? Then unless you've got bodily sickness or what, tactile sudden disturbance. What disturbs us most is every moment of seeing, hearing, thinking, thought process. If you are not mindful, you are not aware, you tend to stir your mind a lot, react a lot. Even the other senses like smell, taste, and tactile, you are not able to be mindful because your stability of mindfulness is not there, your awareness is not there. So what living beings do is they are heedless most of the time, and they got this habitual tendency, their views, their opinion, their conditioning, especially their conditioning, their belief system, their habits. They keep on reacting to what they see, what they hear, what you think, and what you smell, taste, tactile, feel. So all this create the duality that disturb the mind, make it heedless. So the stirring of the mind, the reaction to sense experience, create more thinking, more duality, more heedless activity. And all this, because they are wrong thought most of the time, we are without Yoniso Manasikara, the three evil roots are there. That's why you cannot develop daily mindfulness. You cannot stabilize it. There is no way. So what you need is to constantly listen to the Dhamma. While you listen to the Dhamma, you develop different type of mind state. If you have faith, the Saddha is there. Then when the faith is there, it will drive you. The Virya is there. Then you listen attentively with mindfulness. So when these spiritual faculties are there, the normal mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will or sleepiness, sloth and torpor will not be there. Even restlessness of mind also will not be there. Then later on, when your wisdom starts to develop. Because after you develop the attentive listening, you will develop the understanding. Then when you constantly contemplate, reflect, and inquire into all this, you stabilize the understanding. Then this one become your Dhamma understanding, which is wisdom. We call it yonisomanasikara initially. Then you realize there is a shift and change in the way you live life. Last time, you tend to panic very fast, react very fast, do a lot of things, then determine sometimes very hard, but can't achieve it, cannot realize it. Without knowing that that thing is missing. That's why that stage four, yonisomanasikara, is most important. You have to get that right. So luckily, Po Cheng actually reminded you all. For me, like I explained on that Thursday time, is because I have been reminded by my teacher no less than six times, Achayendra, when I met him. Every time when I alone, he said, we choose contemplate until very early. Then I just follow his advice, not knowing that this is second turning wisdom. Because I contemplate, I reflect, I inquire. That's why there are three turning. You have to move into it. The first turning is hearing the sutta, means the proclamation by the Buddha, like the first noble truth. Yeah. So Chin Hao, now he starts. Then the eight reality of life and existence, means the eight conditions that arise in life, in existence, to create suffering in living being if you don't have the Dhamma understanding. So the first noble truth itself is very important. Then the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha, the eight condition, is to be understood. So your contemplation and reflection should be inquire, why did the Buddha say this? Then if you really follow his advice to reflect and contemplate, then you realize what you have learned last time before you know this second turning contemplation, reflection, is just knowledge, theory. You just rattle like a parrot, birth, old age, sickness, and death is suffering. To be separated from your loved ones is suffering. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, is suffering. Then the next one is when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, is suffering. Then in short, the five aggregate of form and mind is suffering. But you didn't really inquire. You just through memory commit to memory. And this is knowledge. You can rattle like the kids in the school. Yeah? Or then you score maybe very high mark. But there is no understanding. You study that way because you commit to memory. The Buddha say, reflect, contemplate, inquire. So when you ask, why did the Buddha say that, you like suddenly develop the understanding. If I don't contemplate, reflect, and inquire, I cannot understand the deep meaning. I only understand the theory, the knowledge. I only repeat what he said. But I don't have real life experience of what he has said. Then you go in. You realize, if I don't develop the understanding like he said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, means the eight condition. Which means I haven't developed the training, the true understanding. So when you reflect the first of the eight reality, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you recollect through life. Normally, we associate birth with joy, becoming a father already, becoming a mother already. Yeah? Then the grandparents also looking forward to the newborn grandchildren. Then we always look at the positive and happy moments, like the full moon day, Then as they grow up, how cute they are, especially the first few months. Then later on, when they were 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 years old, they are very cute. We are being children. Then you pamper them, you love. But you never look at the negative side of life, the possibility of things going wrong, the suffering that the mother has to endure while they conceive the baby, for maybe 6, 7 or a premature birth, until almost 10 months to delivery. Then the morning sickness and a lot of things, the immobility, the movement and all those things. Because when you are carrying the baby with the pregnancy, there's a lot of inconvenience. Then that birth process is not easy, very painful. And it can be very traumatic if it's not a usual normal birth. Like they call the cesarean birth, where the leg come out first instead of the head come out first. So then you develop appreciation of life, like what Jin Hao realized after this trip. Even Polian, although she said she didn't benefit so much, but she realized one very good thing. To be born in Malaysia is already a great blessing, because life there is so tough. So for Jin Hao's cases, after she starts to reflect, she developed the joy that she has now realized the missing link. The unisom manasikara part, that's like the sequence of cultivation is very, you cannot be too eager to stabilize your daily mindfulness when you have not done the step before. Then after he starts to develop all those, then because in India, he also has some form of benefits that happen, because he has a lot to do with India, because he is like very comfortable when he's in India. Nothing happened. First time I remember he told me he went there without anybody. He just asked Song and he took a flight off. And he survived also for 1 month plus. 3 months. Just imagine, 3 months. For somebody who has been there, I tell you, not easy. You put in 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so, complain like anything really. So it's not easy. So after that, somehow he developed clearer understanding of all this. Then he starts to read the unique code again, because he heard Song mention. Then now he starts to see the thing more clearly. And this is a very important progress, because when you have this ability to see and develop some form of understanding before you reach those stages, it's already very good. Because last time, totally cannot understand. Don't know what is going on, like the words of it. But now you read with understanding, and there is so much joy, because all this starting to like make sense. And him to develop that type of faith, which is extraordinarily different. That's why that joy was with him for a few days. Then, of course, the other part of the sharing is the power didn't come out for 3, 4 days. And that one, you like it or not, you may think it's a coincidence, but if you do what you have to do, if it's karmic, you ask for forgiveness, then you're sincere, something will manifest. Then you will break the karmic obstruction. Then it will clear for you. So a lot of thing about Dhamma is the understanding. Then the contemplation part, the reflection, you must go back and read the one that I wrote, I think. What is the title already? I get the one. I think I print it A4. I go and get it. Yeah, understanding the meditation established by the Buddha, a compilation of email written by me to various Buddhist group and Dharma friends. This is book. So it's also in the website. You should read through it because the three turnings or the Vulnerable Truth are all inside there. And it teaches you how to inquire. So first is, why did the Buddha say this Noble Truth or Dukkha, the first Noble Truth or Dukkha, is to be understood? If I don't understand, means what? In the midst of life, while I experience this eight reality and suffer, I still don't know this is suffering. Understand? That is really miserable. So I have to determine to understand. Then the next question is, after why did the Buddha say that? Now I understand. The Buddha said this is because if you don't understand this first noble truth realities, means you suffer without knowing that you are suffering. So the second inquiry is, how can I understand? Then the answer comes. That's why the second turning is, he prompt you, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Then in the teaching is mentioned, from Sutta Mayapanya, you have to develop the second type of wisdom, which is called Chintamaya Panya. And Chintamaya Panya is to reflect, to contemplate, and to inquire into the noble truth that the Buddha has taught us. And that is the second turning wisdom. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate, inquire. How can I understand? So how to reflect? Again, start with the first reality. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then when you contemplate the negative part, which normally people don't reflect and contemplate, because they want all the good life. Then you start to develop clearer understanding. Yeah, when things go wrong, when you don't keep your karma, when you don't have the good karmic conditioning, all these things can happen. Then can be traumatic, like what I mentioned last time. If the doctor suddenly come and talk to you and say, who you want to save, the mother or the child? I tell you, it can be really traumatic. And shocking, that type of decision. So all this is what reality is, Dhamma is. Then when you really reflect, contemplate, then you start to understand the reality of life and existence. How all this attachment, craving, clinging, grasping can bring about suffering. Because you think the child belongs to you, you conceive, then together with your spouse, your husband, you actually gave birth to this child. Then as the child comes, you have to look after his or her well-being, her education, how they grow up, how they actually become adult from young until they become adult. Until they actually finish their childhood life, their education, then their career life, and maybe later on marriage and all those things. So all these phases are related to birth, old age, sickness and death. Then we see for ourselves as we age to understand why did the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering. We are all this we will witness. Then we reflect, we contemplate. Then we develop the clear understanding. Because unless you reflect, you cannot recollect the whole process. You take for granted what life has given you. Because it didn't happen to you. When people say all this to you, it's like, oh yeah, maybe they are suay. But when it really hit you, happened to you, like COVID-19, I tell you, it's a different story. A lot of them miserable. Whole family involved. And some didn't make it. Some make it, but still have after effect and all those things. So all these eight conditions and reality, you reflect and contemplate. It will help you to develop the initial wisdom that is very important to overcome The first noble truth reality that can bring about suffering. This is what Dhamma is. That's why that initial wisdom is so important. It's related to the first eight realities of life and existence and its entire life. Because all these eight realities cover all of life. Like I said, we can use modern language to describe them. Instead of just birth, old age, sickness, and death, yeah? You can modify it into life. To come to this world is to give life, and life is not certain. The uncertainty of life, anything can happen in between. Yeah, this anicca condition. So with life, wherever you are born, it follows the rest. All age, sickness, and death has to be experienced. There's separation from your loved one, and choice possession can happen. It can lead to suffering. Then when you are people you don't like, then when you are not able to get what you want, then the final summary, you must meditate with mindfulness to understand why the Buddha said, in short, it is due to your sakkayadity, self-delusion, that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. And what is this five aggregate of form and mind? Namaru. So under the rupa is form. Nama, they have four aggregate. Vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. So you put it to test. If I attach, cling, grasp, do I suffer? This is how you contemplate and reflect. And this is how you develop the clear understanding that these five aggregate of form and mind, they have the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. They are dependent originating. That's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not real, not what you think. And that one is not you. That one is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come. And why do you worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die? Because it is basically element, goes the way of nature. That's why in the daily contemplation also, the five daily, we have to contemplate. The first three is related to the physical body. He said, the Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to be born, to grow old, to get sick, and die. These are realities. So if you contemplate, then you realize, hey, when I confront them, birth, old age, sickness, and death, I shouldn't suffer. But these are reality. Everybody has to go through it. You live life long enough. Then you have to endure them. Then you realize you don't take care, not only karma, you don't take care of your health, your physical, your all those things, then it will deteriorate faster. It's just like a car. You don't maintain. You don't know how to look after it. You simply violate the traffic rule and do what you like. Then you create your own destructive suffering. So all this, when you reflect and contemplate, then you start to understand. Then this form of mind is just like a driver and a car. Like a vehicle to take us out. This, I contemplated that. Then I realized that the form of mind is not me. It's like that car is not me. The driver is not me. Because the owner that own is separate. So a lot of this, if you contemplate and reflect and inquire deep, you develop clear understanding, stability of understanding, and you break free from the delusion. Then you can accept birth, old age, sickness, and death very easily. Then you realize these are realities of life and existence. Whether a person suffers or doesn't suffer when they confront this depends on their understanding. If they don't have the understanding, they suffer a lot. Old age, there are new words. When you get old, you become OKU, orang kurang upaya. Your senses starts to fail you. Then your organ also starts to give you problem. Then like the car, a lot need changes. But the car got spare part. Ours, hardly any spare part. Whatever spare part you need donor to donate and all those things, and they need to do operation and all. So it's very different. So if you were to reflect, then you realize there are words that they use, like disease, sickness, traumatic disease, cancer, dementia, and all those depression and all that. These are very traumatic, even heart attack. And now there are a lot of new diseases, even COVID-19, and a lot of this HIV thing and many other things. So if you were to reflect and contemplate, then we realize life is not so straightforward and clear-cut. If you don't have this Dhamma understanding, you confront any of these eight realities, you suffer. Then, like the five daily contemplation, the next one, the fourth one, is separation. All that you think you own, your loved one, your prized possession, your own physical form, they are of the nature to arise and to pass away. When conditions cease to be, they will separate from you. So separation from our physical form, our loved one and prized possession is a reality. When conditions arise, it will happen. So don't attach and cling and grasp. Because these are nature's condition. Sometimes it's due to karma from the past. And most of the time it's due to karma from the past. But sometimes it's due to nature's condition. But whatever the condition is that manifested into separation, accept it. Yeah, there is the reality, like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. If I have the wisdom to accept, I'm free. Then I got no more problem. So separation can happen in many ways. Due to natural death, it can also happen. Due to accidents, tsunami, or nature's disaster, war, riots, kidnapping, honestly. Then separation can also, like relationship failure, problem, you also separate. Then sometimes due to financial, economic reason or whatever, the child gets separated. Then, like during the tsunami time, a lot of separation happened. So all these are nature's condition. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, it's coming. What you cause to people in the past, now you become the victim, you reap what you sow. If you are the boss, you try to be funny, do all those things, then in future, you will end up confronting the same boss. Then as parent, you don't do your duty, you neglect your children. In future, you will have a father or a mother that also neglect you. Do all sorts of funny things. Drunk, get into debt, and don't have any responsibility at all to look after their own family, their own children's well-being and other things. So these are the noble truths that we need to reflect, contemplate, and understand. Then clearly understand the fifth contemplation. We are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma, conditions supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So all this reflection, contemplation is a big topic. You have to go into it. Then later on, second turning also said, the second noble truth, second turning. Third noble truth, second turning. Then fourth noble truth, second. It's a big topic. There's a fourth noble truth, noble eightfold path. That one also big topic. To cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So under the second turning, the Buddha mentioned Every noble truth he emphasized differently. First noble truth is that this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. Once you understand, it gives you the initial wisdom. You are seeing. Then the cause of arising or suffering. This one, when it comes to the cause of arising or suffering, he doesn't tell you that you have to develop the wisdom and understanding. He even tell you precisely it is craving that is a cause. So craving is your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, your holding on to things, your security, believing that everything is real, everything is permanent, that life is meant to be what it is. No. That's why this cause is to be severe. You have to actually root it out. Craving is to be severed or rooted out. Yeah. Then again, you contemplate, why did the Buddha say that? If you don't root out, you suffer. Then how can I do it? Again, reflect and contemplate. Understand why the Buddha say craving. And what is craving? Craving is attachment, grasping, clinging, holding on to things, your covetousness, your lust, your desire. All this, the three evil root all come out. It's a very big topic if you do that. Then after that, the third number two. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now, nirvana, can be realized. So this third number two of realization of nirvana is to be realized. The emphasis is different. Then the Noble Eightfold Path under the fourth noble truth is to be cultivated. No more understanding. That's why you have to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. All the eight path factors you need to. It is really a big topic. That's why without doing all this, this is just a second turning. No? The third turning is, of course, the enlightenment. Bhavana Maya Panya, very penetrative. That's why this noble truth or dukkha has already been understood. This cause of suffering, craving, has already been abandoned or rooted out. Then this realization of nirvana has already been realized. Then the Noble Eightfold Path has already been cultivated. That's why that whole first, second, and third turning is a big topic, very, very big topic. And to go into it is not easy. That's why my teacher also advised me, constantly we choose, contemplate, reflect deep into it to stabilize on it without fail. And I did a lot of those contemplations in the early days. That's why it stabilized. Then I realized when it stabilized, my sense experience, I didn't react anymore. I didn't stir my mind anymore. That's why I got more moment of peace, more moment of silence. I become more and more aware. The space between thought increased. That's how I understand. That's how I share with you all. That's how the unique could come about. But without this unique soul manasikara, it cannot happen. That's why your daily mindfulness cannot stabilize. You need to develop it until it's so stable, until mind enters sati. The key word is mind enters sati. Then when you come out of it, everything you do is in sati. And this is the real training. Not what other people say or the theory or no use. If you don't know all this, you don't do all this, like Jin Hao mentioned, you can have very strong faith or what, but you cannot find the way. Because the Buddha mentioned, he said, as the Buddha, he can only show you the way, you know. You have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize all this yourself. Okay? So this summary is very important. Go back, listen to it, and for those who already developed the faith, you should actually go deep into it, even cultivate all the way, go deep into it, to stabilize this until very, very stable. Unless you do all this, your daily mindfulness very difficult to realize. That's why I always hit that you all, Avijja Sutta, most Kayamita, stage 1, 2, 3 already have. Stage 4, quite a lot already developed, but not everyone yet. Some not stable yet. Then after that, stage 5, Sati Sampajana, stability of daily mindfulness. And that one, not easy. But once you realize that, reach that, then you can go to step 6, 7, very fast. You clear. Then step 8 also very fast. Then step 9, step 10, this sainthood way, you will clear very fast. But to go the bodhisattva way, you need to go by the yellow card, take the vow, and finish off the whole cultivation. And that one will be very rewarding, even though it may take very long. No problem. Okay, I think I have exceeded the time, huh? 5-6 minutes. Okay, so we will stop here, huh? So let us rejoice, huh? We have all the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And like Chinhao said, huh? I'd like to thank Pu Cheng, huh? For highlighting that very important pointer. Huh? Develop the Yoniso Manasikara. Then today I have already helped summarize to you how to cultivate the Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom born of the three turnings, especially the first and second turning wisdom. Okay? Okay, now let us compose our mind, develop the joy, then we will share these merits, starting with the devas. Akasata chio bumata devanaga mahindika unyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tulokasasana itta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Let me end. Sadhu to all. Sadhu.